First, today we're getting in all of our alleluias, as this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, sacred beginning of Lent. And you'll notice in the bulletin the times for the Ash Wednesday Masses. Also, it's on the back of your ordo, your song sheet there. One clarification, in the bulletin it says that it's a school mass at noon, but actually it's just a parish mass where the school will be present. So yes, you are invited to come. Please do come. We want to show off our school students. They will be doing the readings. They're going to help with ushering, etc. And certainly, as we begin this wonderful season, this holy season, my prayers will be with each and every one of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the past now 3 Sundays, we've been hearing from St. Luke's magnificent presentation of what we call the Sermon on the Plain. And Jesus continues the sermon this week, and he continues to challenge us, just as he had those incredible challenges from last week. Now, first, it's extremely important. The sermon actually began, think back just a little bit, this is all part of one, of course. He began by saying, "To you who hear, I say," and then he went on to begin the meat of the sermon. When I was first ordained, a very wise older priest said to me, "You can only preach to the people that are listening." Jesus knew this. You and I know this. If you've had children, perhaps you've said, "You're not listening to me." Certainly, my parents said that to me. So. But with that in mind, to the people here who are listening, we'll continue on talking about Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. Part of it, one of the main focuses of this sermon is, what does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? He mentions discipleship in today's passage. What does it look like to be a disciple? After all, if you and I aren't here because we want to be a better disciple, a better student, why bother? There are plenty of other things we could be doing on Saturday nights and Sunday mornings than doing this if we're not bothering to become a better, more faithful, more loving disciple, student of the Master. So an identifying mark, what is an identifying mark of the disciple? Jesus does not say in his sermon here that it's vast theological knowledge, though it is good to have theological knowledge. I'm always telling you, study the faith. Neither is it personal charm, though that's always nice if you're charming. It's not professional success. It's not levitating in prayer, and it's not extreme penances. Rather, the identifying mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ is treating others, all others, including enemies, people we don't like or don't care for, the way God does, the way God treats us. A good person, out of the goodness of his heart, produces good fruit, Jesus says. If we are truly Jesus' disciples, we will bear good fruit. What does that mean? Taking the whole of his sermon here before we head into Lent, it means that we will be quick to forgive, like God is quick to forgive you and me. We'll be quick to make excuses for others. We won't jump to conclusions about other people's motives, assuming the worst always. We'll avoid judging and condemning them. We will think well of others and speak well of them and treat them as the children of God that they are, even if they act like they don't deserve it. Why? Because you are created in God's image, and so are they. And God is love, the scriptures tell us. Not that he's loving, which he is, it's his essence. It is who he is. He is love. His very divine nature is all about self-giving. And so the more you and I develop our capacity for love, which, by the way, is infinite, it'll continue, our hearts will continue to expand, with that real, authentic, self-forgetful, grab-you-by-the-lapels kind of love, the more mature we will become in what God has created us to be. A mature, healthy apple tree bears lots of fruit. So a mature, healthy human soul overflows with spiritual fruits of profound joy and peace, kindness, generosity, chastity, and even enthusiasm for the faith. It's a wonderful story. Yes, it's a story again of Mother Teresa, probably my favorite saint, okay? She was with her community. She had opened a new foundation in Australia, and they were working with the Aborigines, the natives there in Australia. And while she was there, she went to visit an elderly man who lived in total isolation. He was ignored by everybody. His home, in two words, was dirty and messy. She told him, "Please let me clean your house, wash your clothes, and make your bed." And of course, she intended to do this herself, not just get someone else to do it. He said, "I'm okay like this. Leave it be." And she said, "You'll be even better if you allow me to do it." And you know, you just can't say no to a nun, especially Mother Teresa, right? So he finally agreed. And so she cleaned his house. She was washing his clothes. And while she was cleaning, she discovered this beautiful lamp hidden away, covered with dust. It looks like it hadn't been used in years. And remember, there's no electricity here, so this is an oil lamp. She said to him, "Don't you light this lamp? Don't you ever use it?" He said, "No, no one comes to see me. I have no need to light it. Who would I light it for?" So Mother Teresa said, "Would you light it every night if the sisters came?" He said, "Of course." And so from that day on, the sisters committed themselves to visiting him every evening. Time went on. Mother Teresa left Australia. 2 years passed. She had completely forgotten about the incident. And then one day, she received a message from him that said, "Tell my friend that the light she lit in my life is still shining." In his Sermon on the Mount, notice how much time Jesus spends on the idea of words, the words that we say to each other. Remember, words have power. They are extremely powerful. They can build up or they can tear down. Think of the words that someone might have said to you that just cut to your soul and you've never forgotten them. Or maybe those encouraging words from a coach or a teacher that changed our life, and we're better because of it today. So Jesus gives us this hilarious image, I think, by the way, of the log, a big beam sticking out of our eye while we're nitpicking with tweezers trying to get something out of somebody else's eye, right? So imagine a big 2x4 growing out of your eye, and you're worried about somebody else having a tiny little splinter that you're trying to help them, right? But we feel so justified. He says, "Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam sticking out of your own eye?" It's often, sadly, as if we don't even try to stop gossiping, to stop condemning, to stop judging. And yet Jesus makes it crystal clear that these behaviors are not behaviors of a disciple of him. Again, why bother if we're not trying to be a better disciple? Imagine how different the world would be, in your corner of the world as well, if just even half of true Christians never gossiped, never put up with gossip, never lied, never listened to lies, never spoke badly of our neighbors, and made a special effort to speak well of people when they weren't around. Imagine how much light that would spread. Jesus tells us unequivocally in this magnificent sermon in Luke's gospel, stop judging, stop condemning, don't be a hypocrite, work on your own faults first. He wants us to use this great gift of language even to build up our neighbors, our friends, and our communities. And that's what it means to be that true disciple, that mark of a disciple, to give, to forgive, to bless, to stop judging, to stop condemning, to stop complaining, and start lighting lamps. In other words, to be like Christ, the light of the world. Jesus said today, when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. That's the point. We are supposed to become like Christ so that we can say, as St. Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that, friends, is what will bring you that happiness and peace and hope that we are all desperately searching for in our lives, in our world. In a phrase that's used today and beautifully, be the change that you want to see in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us stand.